The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Last week, Fine Gael launched its Building a Better Dublin. It's a party document. It covers strengthening local government, making the city safer and boosting housing. But one section has come up for criticism from Dublin Bus, and that, of course, is the transport section. The first paragraph of the transport section includes this line: "The National Transport Authority's Greater Dublin Area Transport Strategy is far too focused on expanding the bus network. While the expansion of our bus network has been positive, they also take up road space that is shared with cyclists, and they can endanger pedestrians." And that final part is what Dublin Bus takes issue with. And joining me now is Blake Boland, spokesperson for Dublin Bus. And we are also joined by the author of the document. He's on the line, James Gagan, Fine Gael TD and spokesperson for Dublin. First of all, Blake, do you want to articulate your objections to this particular contention by the document?
Yeah, well, first of all, Pat, this isn't about James per se or any political party. You know, this issue is much bigger than that. And what this is really about is the people that are using these buses every single day, hundreds of thousands. And also the drivers, highly trained professional drivers are doing that. And there's two core issues at play here. One is that we don't feel this document is evidence-based policy, that buses are done or sorted or are not in need of continuing investment. And also we feel that one of those lines you mentioned there was an unfair swipe at 3,500 dedicated, trained, professional Dublin bus drivers, and even more than that in the wider network, that are doing their best in difficult circumstances out there. And
well, the two issues: one is endangering pedestrians and also stealing space from cyclists, and it's not in your gift to actually steal the space anyway, it's in the councils and whether they designate a particular scheme to happen. But endangering pedestrians, I mean, is there any evidence, or I'm sure it's happened at some point over the last few years, that a pedestrian has been hit by a Dublin bus?
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say that a Dublin bus has never been involved in an accident. We know that that's not the case. And accidents do happen across the network, be it cyclists, pedestrians, buses, trains, cars and so on. But this is a very, very safe mode of transport. And these are very, very big vehicles, but they have to be big. They demand the road space because they can carry 80, 90 people at peak times. And we just want to reiterate that the point of how dedicated these drivers are, and that they deserve the respect for the job that they do, and not any implications or blame being put on them.
Okay. Now, James Gagan, listening to all of this, what do you say to the problem that Dublin Bus have with your document?
Yeah, well, thanks, Pat, and thanks for having me on, and hi to Blake there. I mean, look, what I would say is that in no way does the document, and I'd ask, you know, your listeners to go on to finegael.ie and read the document for themselves. In no way does the document impute anything on the bus drivers. You know, bus drivers are some of the finest people in Dublin. What we're saying here is just a very simple point, that we have invested in very good high-frequency bus routes over the last number of years. As Lord Mayor of Dublin, I was one of the people that strongly advocated for the closure of the North and South Quays to most private car traffic to facilitate those high frequency bus routes. I'm a user myself, but we've invested in those, but we actually haven't invested in Lewis extensions since the Cross City Lewis. And you know, right now there's a planning application for a Lewis extension to Finglas. In the Greater Dublin Strategy Plan, they talk about extending the Lewis to Lucan and to Poolbeg, but not until 2042. And one, the constituency I represent is from Ringsend, Irishtown, all the way up to Terenure, and clearly the Poolbeg site, again, your listeners will be familiar with. There's over 10,000 people are going to live in that, in the homes in the glass bottle site. And yes, it will be served by a high frequency bus corridor, which is a good thing. But I don't believe that is sufficient in terms of public transport. We need a mix of public transport. And what we are proposing in Fine Gael, advocating in Fine Gael, and what I'm advocating for is that when the National Development Plan review, which is taking place right now, that the National Development Plan would make clear commitments in terms of those timelines, that they would be accelerated from what was previously envisaged.
Okay, just to remind us how long your party has been in government.
Well, my party has been in government for a long period of time, but weren't.
I'm just wondering, it's as if you were Nigel Farage just getting the nod from the electorate that you might go into power. You've been power. All of this stuff could have been done by you.
Well, I mean, when we were in power and when we did have the transport portfolio, it was Leo Varadkar at the time oversaw the completion of the Cross City Lewis. Clearly, in the last government, the transport department. Yes, we were in government, but it was a Green Party department. And right now, there's a different makeup of this government. And the high frequency bus.
So you're really saying, you're confessing that the green tail wagged the blue dog during the last.
What I'm saying is that in my view, there wasn't sufficient focus to try and, I suppose, push the NTA with budgets or with political priorities to deliver the Lewis extensions in a much quicker way than what's currently envisaged in the timelines. You could have done those in parallel with the investment that was taking place in the high frequency bus routes. And we know that Lewis extensions can be transformative to the areas where they're inputted. And in Finglas in particular, it's going to be a game changer in terms of housing developments. And we saw that on the Green Line, Lewis, when it was, basically just after the crash, there were Lewis lines around Ballally that actually the station wasn't even open when the apartments were built because of the time it was in. And it's now been transformative in terms of housing.
These are great ambitions. And everyone knows that if you have rapid transit, it works and it attracts housing around that rapid transit, and it works very efficiently for people, more efficiently than buses, alas and alack. And that's why the bus corridors are brought in, bus connects, to try and effectively turn buses into the kind of efficient transport you have when you have rails. But, you need maybe for every single dart, the equivalent would probably be maybe 12 or 14 buses. Is that so, Blake?
I'm not sure on how that corresponds.
If you've got a thousand people on a crowded dart.
Yeah, and we'll get about, give or take 90 people on a bus at any given time.
So nine or ten buses. Yeah. So that's why it's never as efficient as rail. But that's by the way. I mean, what do you say to this business about the buses being, a danger? Taking up cycle space?
I think we spoke a little bit there about investment and multimodal transport. And we just want to use this opportunity to say we are fully in support of Metrolink, of expanding the Lewis, including to James' constituents down in Pool Beg. What we see for the future of Dublin City is a multimodal approach. So we support.
But we're stuck with buses for quite a long time, yes.
And it remained that way. And even the TFI in London recently released a report there in April. And 5 million journeys are taken by bus every day over there. And this is, in many ways, an emblem of the underground. I even remember as a child, been on the Piccadilly station, So what we're saying is that investment is needed to continue in buses, because on a busy day, we move about 500,000 people, 159 million people last year we moved. Now, if you go back to 2011, you're looking at give or take, 200, 250 million euros per year investment continuing on up until around 2019. That's up to a billion now. And we are seeing that on the street path. That is not an abstract number that we can see in a spreadsheet. That's the likes of the C Spine, which is in James's constituency, that now has two 24-hour routes as well going from the city outwards. So
how do you feel about this contention that you take up space from bicycles? Because there are a number of places where the space is shared and nobody thinks that's safe.
It is shared. And these buses do take up space. They're big vehicles and they have to be big vehicles because they carry a lot of people. And that's not going to change. So what we're saying is that we do need that investment there. Now, it is shared space. And that's why our drivers are so highly trained in this. And when we look at the statistics on that, they're pretty low. This is a safe way to go. So we want to see that continuing. There is a limited amount of space. Dublin is a medieval city. We can't create this. I don't think that we want motorways, on stilts across our city. There's a limited amount of space, and we have to use this in the best way possible. And buses are and will continue to be a major part of that. And we want to see that in a document. And that's why we were quite surprised in that document to see two mentions of buses and not a single mention of bus connects. And we know the scale of that. This is the great infrastructural project in terms of public transport that is on the ground and working now.
James Gagan, that lack of reference to bus connects, you give out about the buses being big and a danger and all of the rest of it. But there's no doubt that trying to turn buses into, if you like, an on-street version of rapid transit without the rails, it should be a game changer. If increased frequency, loads of buses coming along, getting free passage without impairment by parked cars and having traffic lights which are controlled by the approaching bus to change the signals, making everything more efficient. I mean, that surely should have had pride of place in your document.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Pat, very fairly you read out the passage of the paragraph that's in this party policy document at the outset, and the first line says, it talks about the positive nature of high frequency bus routes. I used, he mentioned the C-spine there, Blake. I mean, I used the S2 and the S4 regularly with my children I mean, we all want multimodal transport priorities. But in the last government, in the last 5 years, I don't remember a lot of people talking up the value of Lewis extensions. And if I engage with the National Transport Authority, for example, a lot of their focus too has been on much needed bus connects, high frequency bus corridors. But I would like to see an acceleration of the existing timetable that has been pledged in their documents. I haven't heard from Dublin Bus or Bus Connects that they feel, I suppose, in terms of the timetable of delivery. I'm sure Dublin Bus quite rightly and understandably would want their bus corridors delivered quickly and not stuck in the High Court, where a lot of them unfortunately are. But I haven't heard them say that, you know, that the level of commitment from the government, from the state isn't there. But what I'm saying is I'm trying to speak up for, I suppose, the people who aren't currently living in these new homes that are going to be built in Poolbeg, that they would have high quality light rail transport connecting the red line. I'm talking about the 300 businesses that were surveyed in the KPMG 2040 Dublin report that said that they favoured, 78% of them said that they favoured the Lewis orbital route around the M50. So we're just trying to think a bit bigger for Dublin. And it's not trying to do it at the expense of current ongoing investment that, by the way, Fine Gael and the government will continue to invest in buses and Dublin bus transport.
Final word from you, Blake, before I go back to James on something else.
We just want to see this continued investment. Dublin Bus and what we're doing and the various different routes and corridors that we have around the city, it's highly adaptable and we can make shifts and change very quickly as we're seeing with Bus Connects, and we need that investment to continue.
Blake Boland from Dublin Bus, thank you very much. Now, James Gagan, I wanted to ask you, mentioned the glass bottle site, which is in your constituency, and the access to it is along Seanmore Road. And I was wondering, did no one join the dots? Because you've got a huge number of people who are going to be, they're all going to be expected to be cycling and so on. And yet the amount of that glass bottle site that you allocated to the housing and very little to the transport facilities like bicycle lanes and making room for those high-speed buses you talk about. I mean, did nobody join the dots when they gave that permission?
Well, actually, right now, Dublin Port are currently before on board Planola with their port expansion plan. And as part of that is the construction of a new bridge over the Liffey right beside the toll link bridge. And in fairness to the National Transport Association, they engaged in pre-planning consultation with Dublin Port to ensure that that bridge could facilitate the construction of a Lewis. So that's really why it's so pertinent right now. I mean, I think today is the last day for the public consultation for the review.
But that's not the question I asked. I mean, I know about that, but I want to know why the planning was such that the Seanmore Road is too narrow for the amount of people who will now be using it.
Well, first of all, there will be a new bridge that's going to be constructed, which should assist in that. But I agree with you, Pat. The point I'm trying to make is that that is why, like, so the NTA determined a couple of years ago that such was the demand, even with the Poolbeg site, that you didn't need to have additional public transport options. I'm trying to make the case that we do need additional public transport options.
And I'm trying to make the point, you're a councillor, you know, the width of that road is too narrow for what it's now expected to deliver. How did that happen?
Well, I mean, ultimately, at the moment, 500 homes have been constructed. What the public transport people, the NTA, what they would have previously said and what they would have submitted in their planning documentation is that they have a high-speed bus corridor route planned for that area, and that would be sufficient. But what I can say is that because of the advocacy that I'm doing, the NTA are actually right now carrying out a new reviewed demand survey in the area, taking into account the new development. And if the planning is approved for the Dublin Port expansion plan, you could have a bridge built there in the next 2 or 3 years. And what I would like to see in the lifetime of this government is that a planning application would at least be brought in respect of extending, and it's only a short enough distance, extending the Lewis from the point to Poolbeg, which I think will be transformative for all those new people that are going to live there.
James Gagan, TD, Fine Gael spokesperson for Dublin, thank you very much. Quick question for you, Blake, before you go. 3 weeks ago, a bus came straight into my lane as theirs was blocked. They clipped my mirror, broken, and continued driving. It could have been worse. I'm still waiting on a response as to where to get my mirror repaired, despite an apology. But the driver literally didn't see me. What do you say to someone who's got a, that's probably not a one-off, you know, these things do happen, as you point out. What should Marie do?
Yeah, we do have an accidents and investigation department that would be investigated with. So I welcome feedback like that. And if you can get details, I can follow up on that.
We'll pass on those details to you. Now,
the Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.